is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, April 3rd, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host today as I have a discussion again about immigration, as I have a discussion again about citizenship, as I have a discussion again about what is happening in the headlines. So, of course, I have Aaron Green, who has agreed to co-host with me as I put some questions to her. Exactly what is it that the Chief Justice was saying? What is it that the Minister Keith Bell was saying? What is it that the advocates and activists, Luby George them, was trying to say? What is this about citizenship? And what is this word, behaving and waiting? That's a Fred Smith word. Why would the Chief Justice use that word? But I have a quote here, and I'm going to use a series of quotes, and I think I have one clip too I can play, that I want Aaron to respond back and forth with, right? And this is my first quote, and it's from the Chief Justice, right? Requiring individuals born in the Bahamas to foreign parents who are essentially Bahamian in waiting to live on the outside of their society is a recipe for social discontent, which the Bahamas can hardly afford. There's absolutely no lawful justification why these applications ought to take years, in some cases decades, to be processed. And I stop there. And this is where I bring Aaron in.
Good morning. Good morning, Bahamas. Good morning, Mr. Nuri. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Before
you start, Aaron, does it really take decades for some people to get citizenship?
It does. It has, apparently. It has taken decades for some people to get some citizenship in the same way that some people are waiting decades for not approval of the plan, but the actual granting of the documents and the access to the Crown land. You know, Keith Bell, in this article, Bell, government won't rush citizenship. He says, you know, Bell said citizenship is a birthright that must be protected at all costs. Land and citizenship.
And I want to analyze that, right? Because I want to speak about Keith Bell's response independently. But I want to hash out what the Chief Justice is trying to say, right? What is this word, behemoth and waiting? That's not an organic word. Right? Because you can't be a Bahamian in waiting because you're born to foreign parents. Right? But the idea that, and this is why I wanted us to explain who the Chief Justice is, with the title, not the person, who the Chief Justice is and what he represents. Right? Sir. He's a sir, a knighted, I think the highest, besides the attorney general, maybe the highest court official in the Bahamas, who represents all the judges, right? If at this private function, right, and hopefully you give me some details on where he was hosting this, at this private function, addressing the audience as the Chief Justice of the Bahamas, he used the word citizen in waiting, or Bahamians in waiting, a better word to use. That was purposefully used. I want to try to understand why would he choose those words.
Well, to understand that, we got to read the article CJ warns on citizenship delay. That was in last week's, I think, Nassau Guardian. The Chief Justice was speaking at an event. He was speaking at the Eugene Depuch lecture. And he was speaking on the subject of citizenship and nationality. So that's important to know. In this presentation, I gotta read a quote. So Ian recognized that perhaps the most challenging immigration citizenship issue relates to those individuals affected by Article 7, which speaks to a person born in the Bahamas after July 9th, 1973, neither of whose parents is a citizen. And here's the quote. The article provides that that person is entitled upon making application on his attaining the age of 18 years or within 12 months thereafter in such manner as may be prescribed to be registered as a citizen of the Bahamas. The Chief Justice says, it is clear that the Constitution offers, in the case of persons born in the Bahamas to non-Bahamian parents, a deferred right to citizenship.
What?
A right deferred to the 18th birthday, Sir Ian said. He goes on, some may also say that it is a deferred conditional right, as it seems that the application must be made within a window of 12 months. I have often heard this right diminished as simply a right to apply. It is certainly not a simple right to apply. Everyone and anyone has a right to apply. The right given to persons qualified under Article 7 is an entitlement to be registered upon application and subject only to national security and public policy considerations.
I can't let you move on, right? Because right. That is an indictment, and I think it needs to be reiterated. Are you able to read that again? Because I didn't understand what you said. They have a right. And some use the word entitlement? No. I need to understand entitlement.
That's what the Chief Justice used. And here we go. Quote, it is clear that the Constitution offers, in the case of persons born in the Bahamas to non-Bahamian parents, a deferred right to citizenship, a right deferred to the 18th birthday, Sir Ian said. Quote, some may also say that it is a deferred conditional right, as it seems that the application must be made within a window of 12 months. I have often heard this right diminished as simply a right to apply. It is certainly not a simple right to apply. Everyone and anyone has a right to apply. The right given to persons qualified under Article 7 is an entitlement to be registered upon application and subject only to national security and public policy considerations.
Now, this is Chief Justice Sir Ian Wynder, one of the smartest and leading lawyers we have in the Bahamas to do constitutional law. And in fact, let me put this in. There is now currently a case in front of the Privy Council right now that is analyzing this or concluding if this is an entitlement that you use, the word entitlement, or is it subject to stipulations, which is if you didn't apply by 18, you missed that deadline. So this is currently, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is currently being concluded with, adjudicated by the Privy Council now, and they will determine moving forward if this is an entitlement at birth. Is that what's happening right now?
I think so. The Chief Justice made this and other statements while he's delivering the Eugene Depute Distinguished Lecture, and the topic was status, rights, and obligations. Legal issues in citizenship, immigration, and asylum laws in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. He was not at the bench.
He was not Chief Justice when he was there? Or he was still Chief Justice when he's there? Like how the Prime Ministers talk at private institution, but still saying he's Prime Minister.
Well, I don't think he is ever not the Chief Justice.
There you go.
Once he's
been appointed. Just making sure.
But this was not at the bench, right? He does reference that there is a case before the courts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just looking for that particular quote. It's such a long article.
While you read that, while you read that and try to find it for us, right? I have a caller here. I have a caller here, and I want to let the caller explain how he wants to engage us. And if you can, quickly scan that so we can get that onto the records too. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller, can you hear me? Go ahead again. No, there's the caller didn't go in through. So I will continue, right?
I found it. No,
you found it? See, look how God is. Go ahead and read that part.
So low in the article, he also highlighted the pending challenge to the interpretation of Article 6 of the Constitution. So Ian, who heard a challenge in this regard prior to becoming Chief Justice, held that a person born in the Bahamas is entitled to citizenship at birth pursuant to Article 6 of the Constitution if either of their biological parents hold citizenship irrespective of their parents' marital status. The case was recently heard before the Privy Council, which has not yet ruled. And I think that is the case that you're referring to. Yes.
I have a text here that says, these Bahamians in waiting are also competing on the Bahamas Carifta team, and they want to know how many. And I know if that's necessarily true. It can't be no Bahamian waiting on the Bahamian official team. But that's just me being trapsy. Let's go back to this caller again. Producer, patch that caller through. Caller, can you hear me?
Hey, Bill.
Hello, go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Nuri. How you doing?
Good morning.
And Ms. Green. I'm a little confused. Can I ask this particular question now?
Go ahead, ask your question, man.
Okay, let's get this scenario. Mummy is in the Bahamas. Mummy is an illegal immigrant. Daddy is in the Bahamas. Daddy is an illegal immigrant. Baby is born in the Bahamas to illegal immigrants. Is the baby a Bahamian in waiting?
Yes.
Until the baby gets 18?
Yes.
So when the baby in waiting reach 18, they have the right to apply?
No, they have the right to determine if they want the citizenship or if they want the citizenship of another country, because they can only have one. Okay. It's not a right to apply.
Okay, before I get cut off, let me ask this question. So mummy and daddy have the right to be here until the baby is 18?
No.
So what we do with mummy and daddy for 18 years?
What we are doing with mummy and daddy for 18 years?
We don't seem to be doing nothing, because more here now than ever before.
That's a different issue.
What is the issue? I mean, we seem to be saying one thing that we...
We're having a specific conversation about citizenship and... individuals' right to have the state convey citizenship to their child. We're not talking about how people got here, what they're doing here, how you feel about them, or how I feel about them. We're talking specifically trying to get a sense of what the Constitution requires of us when we encounter this particular situation.
Well, there you go. I see you have another call, telephone there. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Morning, CA. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm trying to get an understanding to exactly what the Chief Justice was talking about.
Go ahead.
Because he definitely was invoking Article 7 of the Constitution, which happens to be the supreme law. You know, anytime you have someone born in the Bahamas to foreign parents before 1973, there are some things that you must satisfy in our Constitution. One, you must be born in the Bahamas. One, you must renounce, which is most important. You must renounce. And according to the Haitian Constitution, you would have to, they don't renounce no more.
No. That's a mistake. But I got to correct that part. Now that you know that's wrong, but I'll correct it and let you know. It's no such thing. They can renounce their citizenship.
You cannot renounce.
No, I'm telling you now.
17 countries on the planet.
And I'm telling you now, they can renounce. That they have a new law, and they can renounce.
Yes, they had it. They changed it.
No, they changed it to renounce. But nonetheless, we know call them. You are aware that there are Haitians who have renounced their citizenship and are now Americans. You are quite aware that there are Haitians who have renounced their... Hold on. I just want to say yes or no. You are quite aware that there are Haitians who have renounced their citizenship and are now Canadians. You are quite aware that there are Haitians who have renounced their citizenship and now South Americans, and so on and so on. So I hear what you're saying, but we know across the world that it's different, that it is not so. So why continue to say something that you just clearly there's evidence
because
that...
Because we have 17 countries on the planet. 17 countries who cannot renounce. Haiti is one of them since 2012. So prior to that, they would have had to go to Haiti to renounce, not to the Minister of Immigration in the Bahamas.
But they don't go to Haiti to renounce. They have an embassy. They have an embassy right here that is Haiti.
They cannot do it at the embassy.
But they have been doing it. They have been doing it at the embassy for decades.
They have, that doesn't make it right.
It makes it right under the Haitian Constitution and our Constitution.
But right now, let's be real. I'm only trying to get the sense of it. Not because we are here opposing views. It means then now that, we are different. Just bear with me. The Bahamas Constitution does not give credence to dual citizenship.
Okay.
You're a Bahamian. But if you are born to, if your parents are foreigners, you take on the nationality of your parents.
Okay.
You follow?
So far.
So what the Chief Justice was doing, he is marrying a portion of the Constitution and a portion of the nationality of law into himself. You cannot do that.
Well, the Constitution trumps everything.
If you read the entire article of 7, you will see where the Chief Justice erred in law.
But the good thing about this is the Privy Council is about to rule on this, and when the Privy Council rule on it, all of our opinions doesn't matter anymore because the law will be the law. No. The case is not.
Jean Rooney case, you will see there. The Privy Council has already ruled.
As you know.
And when Fred Smith left the Privy Council, he was asking for Jean Rooney, the same man who he said was born in is a Bahamian, He was asking if they can give him a work permit. Read the case.
And what I'll do is follow up. But as you know.
Let's read, Ms. Nuri, let me read Article 7.
Okay, go ahead.
Let
me read it. 7-1, a person born in the Bahamas after the 9th of July, 1907, is a citizen of the Bahamas, shall be entitled upon making application on his attaining the age of 18 years or within 12 months thereafter, in such manner as may be prescribed, to be registered as a citizen of the Bahamas, provided that if he is a citizen of some other country other than the Bahamas, he shall not be entitled to be registered as a citizen of the Bahamas under this article, unless he renounces his citizenship of that other country, takes the oath of allegiance, and makes and registers such declaration of his intentions concerning residence as may be prescribed. Any application for registration under this article shall be subject to such exceptions or qualifications as may be prescribed in the interest of national security or public policy. Now tell me, please, sir, where the CJ's commentary contravenes or ignores what is in Article 7.
I don't see it. But, Aaron, there are also second-generation, I put this in quotes, Haitian Bahamians. Those persons who were born from children of persons born in Haiti. And as they said, the good gentleman said that the persons born to Haitian parents automatically get Haitian citizenship. But what happens to their children? Do their children get citizenship? And of course, the Constitution said they don't. So they would be either be considered stateless or only have access to the Bahamas if they were born in the Bahamas. But we have another telephone call, Aaron. So let's patch that caller through. Producer, patch the caller for me. Let's see if we get that. Caller, can you hear me?
To ask me a question I would like to answer.
Okay, go ahead.
It's where the Chief Justice erred. The Chief Justice erred when he attempted to marry a portion of Article 7 and Article 5 of the Nationality Act. That's where he erred. If you read, if you, if, if you read and pay attention to the utterance that the Chief Justice was making, you will see where he married the two legislation. You cannot do that.
I read Article 7 of the Constitution. Now you tell me how he married Article 5 of the Nationality Act with what I read.
Renounce.
No, we don't know. No, pause. We don't know. I'm asking you the question. I did my part. I found Article 7. I read it. And I'm asking you to show us where he marries Article 5 of the National Act with Article 7 to misconstrue the intent of Article 7. That's all I'm asking you to do.
You will see where, if you read Article 5,
I'm asking you to read Article 5.
Excuse me?
I'm asking you to read Article 5 for us.
I don't have it. I don't have it in my purview.
So call us back, caller, when you have Article 5. So we'll have the callers call her back at free open. As soon as you get Article 5 to read that part in, we have it. Now, Aaron, I have a choice. I need to either believe that caller or believe the Chief Justice who is specializing inside the Constitution laws. So these are the big, heavy things weight on my shoulders now. Who to believe? Someone who studied the law or the layperson? And see, I know who I'm going with. I just know who I'm going with. But I have another caller here, Aaron, to engage us. So let's do that. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, good afternoon. Hello.
I'm right here. Go ahead, caller.
Morning.
Okay, listen, all this back and forth about this topic, it tells me something, that there are a lot of people that misinterpret it or don't understand the language. What needs to happen is this needs to be rewritten in modern-day language and simplified for the people to understand. Because it's the people you're trying to reach. So simplify it. I don't see what's wrong with simplifying it for a high school graduate to understand, or a person that went to school to understand this thing, because every time we have this topic, it's a bunch of people mixed up. It's mixed up to tell us something.
Dear caller, I got 10 copies of the Layman's Constitution put together by Keisha Ellis Hunt with the assistance of local legal professionals. Mr. Newry, we're going to have to, I got to put my hand on them and
give it away free.
Give them away. I'm supposed to be selling them, but I'm going to have to pay for them so that I could give them away, because the caller is spot on, right? And that's why we're trying to have the conversations. We're trying to have the conversations so people could familiarize themselves with the language and the concepts. So when we have these bigger conversations, they could plug in and understand what's being said.
I have another caller here. I want to play the clip now of Keith Bell, but I wait till the producer comes right back. Because Mr. Keith Bell responded, and I don't think that his response was adequate. And I think I might have the written version of it to read inside the conversation.
You mean the article, Bell government won't rush citizenship approvals?
Yes, but I wanted to play the voice copy of it to the written part. But let me patch the caller through first. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Newry. Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning.
Morning.
I listened to the rhetoric just a while ago, right? And so the gentleman, the question is not whether people understand the Constitution. The question is the ambiguity. And then another question is, how could a legal document embrace illegality? Those are the pertinent questions as far as citizenship. Another thing for me is the swearing allegiance to the country, taking oaths and swearing allegiance to the Bahamas. These are the things I have with people being naturalized, you know. So then, if you breach, or if you show me evidence of your lack of allegiance to the country that you're supposed to be living in, then that's grounds to have your papers retracted and to be deported. You see, we're not looking at this demographically. All right, let's say, for the government to blindly say, give all people born here citizenship. That's automatically an insult to the Bahamian people, because Mr. Bell says scrutiny, which I agree with, but I hope he's not saying one thing and doing the next. But then the question then becomes, what about the data showing how much people are, or what they call organic, which all of us are organic, every human is organic, but that's the term they use, so to speak, like how much Bahamians are here versus how much migrants are here. And then going on that, now people who born here with Haitian, with parent, Haitian mother and Bahamian father and vice versa, it should be given citizenship. But what I'm saying is with two Haitian parents, it has to be scrutiny because the Jean Rooney case highlights this with the submission of fraudulent documents. The government knows that fraudulent documents are being forwarded in order to obtain legitimate documents, right? Now, the question is, if Haiti is in so much chaos, where are they getting these documents from? And then the question then becomes, why has no citizenship been retracted? Then another question is, why is the government still giving out citizenship when they don't have the demographics as to how much of them is versus us? They're just blindly granting citizenship, and the people who were not even born here. And I live in
Haiti. You know, it's another question.
Everywhere, mm-hmm. Come on, man. There's got to be some kind of control, man.
Let's respond
Listen,
to that.
Listen, 52, I with you, right? I with you. I appreciate Keith Bell's statements, prioritizing citizenship, right? Talking about all of the work that must take place in the process of vetting and scrutinizing the candidates for citizenship. But why would you shift the burden, right, of resolving the problem on the candidate and not on your state systems that have failed? Why do I have to go in for a third, a second or a third e-passport? Why do I have to go and look for affidavits from people who died 20 years ago because the state can't maintain the integrity of its own agencies? Why should that burden be placed not just on the candidate, but on the candidate for citizenship? Surely, if there is malfeasance or corruption taking place, the burden is on the government to tighten up its systems and ensure the integrity of its systems. So even if fraudulent documents are coming out of Haiti, right? Surely the integrity of our systems would prevent those fraudulent documents being able to be used.
And Aaron, I have that quote right now, so we're going to have the producer play that. So let's get this 30 seconds in. This is from Our Witness News. Go ahead there, producer.
Legislation to address stateless. The government made little progress in advancing legislation to address statelessness, according to the U.S. Department of State's 2022 Human Rights Report on the Bahamas.
I'm satisfied that our laws are strong and we are following them to the extent to which we will take our time to ensure that whomever comes to this country may be granted citizenship. That is the responsibility and the authority of the government, and we will ensure that we do our due diligence. We're not going to be rushed by virtue of someone remaining in this country for a significant period of time.
Wait periods associated with citizenship applications were also criticized in the report, but Immigration Minister Keith Bell says there's good reason for the length of the process.
We receive applications from a significant number of countries, and we have to check with these states, these countries, to ensure that documents that we receive are authentic. They have to be authenticated. We have to ensure that where there is no duplication or imposters, as we have seen in the past.
Another hot topic of late referenced in the report, eviction notices and informal settlements. Bell says there is a plan in place post-demolitions.
So we'll cut it right there. And reason why I played it, Aaron, instead of reading it, right, is that from that article, from that news report, the minister is content that 10 years is a reasonable time. That is concerning for me, Aaron. You're saying that a person should be allowed to linger, and we're talking about those Bahamians in waiting, because that's where the Chief Justice was talking about, the Bahamians in waiting. Mm-hmm. Those people born in the Bahamas, who went to school in the Bahamas, who we helped grow up and invested in terms of our monies. He's saying that we, the government, are quite comfortable them to wait 10 years until we can prove that they were born in the Bahamas, even though we have our records, until we can prove that they went to school in the Bahamas, even though we have our records, until they can prove that they want to be citizens. Something must be wrong with that, Aaron. And for him to say it out loud, that we have no problem with them waiting 10 years, shows that something is inefficient with our governance. And that must be addressed.
Something is absolutely wrong, and I wonder if it takes that amount of time for citizenship applications to be processed from other hemispheres, from other jurisdictions around the world, other regions? Is this a particularity to the Haitian migrant community? Is it a particularity to brown skin migrants from the South? How long does it take to process the citizenship application of somebody who is purchasing a large home or making a major investment? It is it is intolerable. And unfortunately, due to other discriminatory provisions in law, it is very difficult to challenge.
Good. And Aaron, we have another caller here. Let's see how this caller wants to engage us. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning to both of you, Cecil, and to Aaron. Please allow
me
to engage you in this conversation. First, your utterance was both correct and wrong. Correct in the fact that there are systems in place that actually add chaos to the situation. And Aaron, this is not peculiar to the Haitian migrant, but it's augmented by the condition of Haiti over the number of years. As you're well aware, there's something called KYC, or know who it is. Let's take this to the basis of entry into the Bahamas. A person should not, in any country, be able to enter a country, provide no legal documentation as to who they are or where they're from, give a name, not be verified, authenticated who they are, and it be accepted as a rule, as part of a legitimate legal argument that this is who they say they are. C. Allen Johnson enters, say he is Charles Smith.
But what man is C. Allen?
Yes.
We ain't talking about those people.
No.
We're talking about a specific set of people. Chief Justice referenced.
We talk about the record keeping. Hold on a second, please.
But let's talk about the people who the Chief Justice mentioned. The Bahamas.
Let's go to this, right?
So you don't want to talk about those people?
No, I want to talk about that. I understand the game of convolution and conflation. Let's go there. First of all, let's talk about citizenship of anybody born in the Bahamas. Anyone. If they have a mother or a father, okay? They have a right to application or to entitlement. There's two different things. To become citizen of the country for which their parents are from. There's no country in the world that allows Just Soleil or Just Sanguis. That's two laws. One is right of the soil, one is right of blood, the Bahamas office boat, to be registered as a citizen. An entitlement, because we often use the word automatic. Nobody's automatic. The Constitution protects a right. The law transferred. So let's go back to where we talked to. Let's use Haiti as an example. A first generation, born to a first generation Haitian who was born in Haiti, is guaranteed the right to be registered upon application. Okay? It's not no automatic. Now, you have that first generation, right? It's registered. If that person is registered, that right is still protected. That person has a child. Whether they are registered or not, that entitlement is still there. That second generation has a right to be registered upon application as a citizen. The fact is that that child parent refused, that second generation refused to be registered. It is no fault of this state or any state because that parent doesn't do what is necessary for that child. And that cascades down to third generation, fourth generation, fifth generation, which then brings you to a complete conversation on Bahamian citizenship because this is what we're talking about in context. So there, this argument about statelessness would have to show me in law in the country they're coming from, right, that it disallows second, third, fourth, fifth generation to be registered as citizenship. We can't argue that my parent did not do what was legal.
Aaron? Belongers and Turks and Caicos. Like how the grandchildren and automatically Turks and Caicos, hey, you could be only that first generation. But anyway, we'd always pick and choose countries. But I know in Turks and Caicos, he's a grandchild. You ain't no automatic Turks and Caicos person. But I have another caller. Go ahead. You answer, then I'll go to the next caller.
No, no. Go to the caller.
Okay. I pressed the button before, Kirk. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon there.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
We're doing well.
This is Mr. Nuri.
This is Nuri.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I'm listening to your show. So you're saying it's concerning that the minister is saying that it takes 10 years to get persons regularized in the country?
Persons born in the Bahamas in particular.
Yeah, but why is that concerning to you? Because the thing is, we seem to be a country who prioritize the needs of other persons other than the needs of the own native people here. Why, you know what should be concerning?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they haven't said if you are of, you know, other heritage, you know, the country of the Haiti background, and your parents came here illegally just to have you here to look for citizenship status, that's going to be ousted, and you will not be able to get citizenship because we're not curbing the problem by encouraging what you are suggesting, hurrying up to give them papers right away.
And I hear you, Carlo. My issue is I only go in by based on our opinions do not matter. It's what the Constitution said they are entitled to. Now, if you don't like the Constitution, we can change it.
Yeah, because we need constitutional reform. In some countries, it's a longer wait period, 20 and 40 years.
I'm not sure which country that is, but if it is changed in the Constitution, then we'll be arguing that point. But until it's changed, let's argue and protect our Constitution, the highest court and law in the land, which says they are entitled to it, and they should be granted to them. And you might be vexed at it, but... The idea that is,
but what I'm saying, I understand you, but what I'm saying to you, why is it, and I always wonder, these talk show hosts find it a need. I know it should be, you know, you want to have these hot topic conversations, but what about highlighting the needs of the Bahamian citizens who are suffering right here? What about having topics on educated Bahamian citizens who... educated themselves, a lot went off to school and can't come back because there's no availability of job for them or no the right amount of salary isn't being rendered to them. Have topics about that too. That's important, Mr. Nuri.
Yes, definitely important. And what I'll do is make space for you and persons like that to come on air and talk about that. So I'll definitely commit to that. That's good?
Oh, Lord. Oh, sure. No problem, Mr. Dury. Have a wonderful afternoon.
You too, ma'am. Thanks very much. Okay. We have another caller there, Aaron. Go go ahead, producer. quicker than Kermit today. Go ahead, caller. Call a girl once. Call a girl twice. Kermit, go to the next one. Call a girl once. How you doing, caller?
Hi. Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Okay. And good morning to your co-host, Aaron.
Good morning
to the nation. Let's turn into your topic on the comments of the Chief Justice versus the Minister of Immigration and Labor, Keith Bell. I believe that the problem, while we are looking at ways to address the interim problem, the overall problem still exists, and I'm not hearing the government that I support speak to how we're going to address it. I believe that in the interim, there are still situations that the Chief Justice spoke to, Sir Ian Winder, that are continuing to exist, and new situations that are being added on to the old situations. And we are having a challenge as it stands, remedying the existing situations, and the only way that we can remedy other situations adding on problem is by addressing the Constitution. We need that constitutional referendum in order to close the loopholes and the gaps that exist, the ambiguity that exists in the Constitution. I need to hear my government speak to that matter and how we are going to decisively close those loopholes through the Constitution, because as we look at ongoing matters in the court system, whether the Supreme Court, appeals court, or whether at the Privy Council, we still have that gap. We still have that ambiguity. We still have the problem that exists that allows for a continual increase in the amount of problems that we will experience along the lines of immigration because of the Constitution. And so we need that constitutional referendum, and we need that post-haste while we look at addressing the matters that are working their way to the court, inclusive of the Privy Council. Thank you for the opportunity.
My pleasure. Thanks very much. And you see the word about amending the Constitution and enforcing the Constitution again, Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So clearly that there is a need, or Bahamians are calling for constitutional reform. I don't know if we trust Bahamians now to vote on referendums, because they always go contrary.
I mean, look where you're going. I don't know if I trust politicians to frame and hold referendums. I can be honest, because it's like, you know, when you supposed to be putting together a birthday party for somebody, but you forget it ain't your birthday and it ain't your birthday party and it ain't what you like, it's what the other person like. Yeah, it's kind of like that. I don't know if I trust my government to host another referendum, but I wanted to respond to a couple of things the caller said, just quickly, you can see Alan Johnson. Statelessness is possible. And you can't say because a person's parents didn't do the right thing, that child is now subjected to the penalty applied to the parents. The Constitution sees people as individuals. It's a minor. There are specific provisions or instructions on how that minor is to be treated, right? Separate from an adult. I wanted to, the caller asked you, why is it so concerning? Right? Why is it so concerning that it takes 10 years for citizenship to be granted? It's not that it takes 10 years, it's that it doesn't take 10 years across the board. The different types of citizenship and status can be gained by different people at different rates, right? If you're telling me that there's a standard process, right? And everybody from application to granting approval or denial has to wait 5 years because we give the general public 3 years to submit their query or their challenge to the granting of citizenship. That's different from telling me, well, it may take 10 years to determine whether these documents are fraudulent or not. Here's another reason why it's concerning. The child, if we follow the Chief Justice's interpretation, is a Bahamian at birth, is entitled to be registered as a Bahamian at 18, only has 1 year. Well, if you know that the people only have 1 year from 18 to 19, upon their registration at birth, right? Upon their birth documents, you should have a file and a unit that is doing that investigative work on the parents, the guardians, whatever, to ensure that once they hit 18, if they make the application can be processed because of the national security and good governance concerns, can be processed as quickly as possible. There's another reason why it's concerning. In the break, I went to Article 5 of the Bahamas Nationality Act. Let's look at Article 6. It speaks to the registration of minors. It says, the minister may cause the minor child of a citizen of the Bahamas to be registered as a citizen of the Bahamas upon application made in the prescribed manner by the parent or guardian of such child, which suggests that if your parent is, one of your parents is a Bahamian, and they are applying for you to have your citizenship registered, it could be done right away. But if you're another category of a person who is entitled to have their citizenship registered, that you got to wait 18 years, and then you may possibly have to wait longer than that. That is why it's so concerning.
I have another text here. It says, Mr. Nuri, I'm concerned as to why you feel something is wrong with waiting 10 years for citizenship. My son is married to a Canadian for the past 10 years, and she just obtained the residency certificate. I think that's too long, too, that you married and here residing and 10 years gone by and your wife just getting, see, I find that inefficient. Something is wrong with that. And next text, go ahead. The next test is, I try to lose it, but I remember it. It says that you think 10 years is long for citizenship. Imagine waiting 10 years to get confirmed for your government job. So I think that's too long, too.
Right.
I think that's too long.
Right. The pace of government, the pace of government is not just slow, it's detrimental to the lives of the people it's supposed to be serving. And that's a part of the real issue. What is Keith Bell telling me about citizenship being a birthright and it's so important and I have to protect it? Protect it for whom? The same people that can't get the Crown Line application, the same people that can't get beds in the hospital, the same people that can't get access to the passport documents. Who are the people you're protecting this birthright for? Are you protecting it for the administration? What do you need citizenships for? What is the 10 years for? For what purpose are you protecting it?
Error the music playing. The music playing. We need to go on a commercial break to pay the bills. We will be back to continue this conversation, though. Guided Radio in the AM with CNRE. We'll be right back.
Easter is right around the corner, and the Nassau Guardian is partnering with the Easter Bunny to give something special to you. Would you like to give your child an Easter basket filled to the brim with chocolate bunnies, surprise eggs, gift certificates, and more? Then you should enter your child into the Nassau Guardian's Easter Coloring Contest. There are three different categories, 5 to 6, 7 to 9, and 10 to 13. Deadline for entry is Monday, April 3rd at 4 p.m. Purchase your copy of the Nassau Guardian to get your Easter coloring contest sign-up form. I'll let your children color away and win one of three baskets filled to the brim with Easter goodies from the Nassau Guardian. The Nassau Guardian's Easter Coloring Contest. For more information, call 302-2370.
Well done, Easter Bunnies! Good job!
Every Thursday until April 6th between 5 and 6 p.m. is Comp Days. Follow us and like our Facebook page, 50th Carifta 2023. Then keep a lookout for our team and get a chance to win a golden ticket and many, many more giveaways for the 50th Carifta Games 2023. For more details, email info@carifta50.com or call 808-GOLD.
Vaccines protect those we love the most, our children and our grandchildren. I vaccinated my children to protect them. Getting your child immunized can protect them against diseases like polio, measles, whooping cough, and others. So protect your child today by getting them immunized. My grandchildren are vaccinated. You should do the same. Vaccinate your children and your grandchildren and make sure they are safe.
Take advantage of the National Vaccination Catch-Up Campaign, March 25th to April 6th. Visit your nearest clinic weekdays between 8 a.m. and 7 p.m. On Saturday, March 25th, visit us at the Red Cross, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And on Saturday, April 1st, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., you'll be at the Mall at Marathon. COVID-19 vaccines are also available at all locations. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, and USAID.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, I have Aaron Green having a discussion with me. But I want to change the conversation a little bit, Aaron. Right?
Yes,
recently, Clint Watson, the media person for the government, right?
Press secretary.
Thanks very much. I couldn't remember nothing. Yeah. He explained that that the government plans to follow the law based on whatever the judge ruling is regarding the shanty town, right? They have issued 200-odd eviction notices, and now it's going to go to court, and it will be determined by the court what shall be done with the shanty towns, et cetera, et cetera. My question to you now is, what if the court rules that you shanty town? What does that mean for the Bahamas?
Okay.
Because he said they're waiting on the court ruling, they will follow the law based on whatever the court rules on the individual houses. What happens if the court says, no, this house, they allowed to stay there? Do we just ignore it? and then we move on? Is that the plan? They didn't enunciate any plan B.
Right. I got you. That's a sticky one. Here's what I would suggest. What I would suggest is that if the government, see, there's a housing crisis, right? I think that the problem starts with the housing crisis. We have documented migrants who are saying, we have been looking for places to live. There are none available. That we find Bahamians in the shanty towns as well suggests that the majority of documented migrants are not lying. Bahamians are also having a difficult time finding affordable, accessible housing. So I would find those private sector entities that are best able to partner with the government and get short-term rental housing, affordable, accessible, available right away. That's what I would do. I would figure out on Abaco, in Eleuthera, in Andrus, and then in multiple spots in New Providence, I need to get apartments up right away, temporary housing options, not homes, rental and leasing options, month to month and yearly or multi-year leases available for people at decent rates. That's it. That's all that can happen. Because what we know is that the documented migrants don't want to be there. They want affordable and safe housing, and this is all that they could find. If we provide the affordable and safe housing, then they will leave the shanty towns because they don't want to get caught up in immigration raids. They don't want to get caught up in the types of criminal activities that can arise in these unregulated spaces. They don't want to be there.
And Aaron, I'll question even further. Are you talking about legal residents, or are you talking about migrants when you have this discussion?
I'm talking about three categories of people living in the shanty towns. We've got Bahamians, right? We've got documented migrants, and then we've got undocumented migrants. That the Bahamians and the documented migrants will move if there is safe and affordable housing available.
But by the sheer numbers that they are, it's impossible to create enough housing to accommodate these numerous shanty towns that we have throughout the island. So this is sounding like it's going to be a 5 to 10 year problem or solution.
I rebuke even the sentiment of it. I want you to know that I appreciate what it is that you're saying, but I throw it away with the bathwater, so to say. If we have a minimum of 10 major developments being proposed right now to invite guests in, we got 2 in Adelaide, 1 South Ocean, 1 at the bottom of Fox Hill Road by Hannah Road, right? We've got the big 10 hotel development proposed for Sansal. We've got at least a minimum of 3 major projects on the table for Exuma. Eleuthera is lighting up. Andrus is lighting up. If we could be building all of those, would you mean we cannot build and find housing for those documented migrants and Bahamians who cannot find it?
So you're suggesting that no major construction, these big buildings to be constructed unless they have some kind of housing development attached to it?
What I am suggesting, though, I like how you did that. What I am suggesting is that they can't build those construction projects, those developments cannot be successfully completed without the migrant labor that's already in the country. So you got to do something. You need the labor.
Aaron, we got to go to the news. It's 12 yeah. o'clock, Aaron. We got to go to the news. This has been Guided Radio in the AM. Have a wonderful day.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.